Welcome to Quimper UU Fellowship. We hope you enjoy this recording from our April 21st Easter service. Reverend Kate Lohr's homily is titled, Easter as Told by Mary Magdalene. Thanks for listening.
According to the four Gospels of the Bible, Mary Magdalene was one of Jesus' closest companions. She knew him when he was young. She was with him in Galilee when he preached to people by the thousands, and she witnessed his ability to heal the sick and feed the hungry. As Jesus' ministry grew in magnitude, Mary Magdalene continued to stay at his side. Some have said that they were even a couple by this point, but there is some disagreement about that claim. Still, it has been well documented that she was at Jesus' side on that first Good Friday, when he entered the holy city of Jerusalem riding on a donkey. So she had firsthand experience with those throngs of jubilant admirers all lined up along Jesus' path, waving palm branches and calling out, Hosanna. Mary Magdalene wasn't the only one to witness those good days, of course. Jesus had many friends and disciples at that time. But as is often the case, people lost courage and fell away when things suddenly got difficult and dangerous. By the time the Romans arrested and then crucified him, Jesus was all but abandoned. Mary Magdalene, though, was an exception. She was devoted enough and brave enough to stay with Jesus to the end. She was, in fact, one of only three people, all women, who grieved at his feet as Jesus suffered his slow and torturous death. So it was in her presence that he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Her loyalty to Jesus continued long after Jesus died. She followed the soldiers as they carried his body to the tomb, and she remained there until the huge stone was rolled into place to close off the tomb. She then spent the rest of her life sharing the teachings of Jesus to all who would listen. Maybe we should listen to her too. Considering that Mary Magdalene witnessed so much of Jesus' life and death, she may be the very best person to explain Easter to us today. In just a few minutes, we'll hear her telling of the Easter story.
Good morning, my 21st century friends. My name is Mary Magdalene, and I lived a long, long time ago, 2,000 years ago, in fact. Now, I know it may seem odd that I'm with you today, but I come by invitation of your minister. She knows that Easter is a confusing holiday for Unitarian Universalists because, well, it happened so long ago, and it's very difficult to separate fact from fiction. So she thought that you might benefit from hearing directly from a person whom historians has confirmed was there. She also thought some of you might be able to relate to me. Like many of you, I did not comply with the social norms of my day, and I have been either misunderstood, shunned, or discredited by the Orthodox Church. Over the years, people in power have claimed that I was a prostitute. Others say I was mentally ill. And when Constantine's bishops gathered to first assemble that very first Bible in the year 325, they chose to exclude my version of events, which is known as the Mary. The Gospel of Mary. Aren't you glad you don't have to wear these things these days? I know that some still do, but I know that Unitarian Universalists don't. Well, can you imagine my delight in learning that recently the Gospel of Mary, my Gospel, has resurfaced? They're even teaching about it in seminaries these days, and that's how your minister found out about my version of events. So, where do I begin? I suppose I should tell you that Jesus and I knew each other when we were children. He went by the name of Yeshua back then, and he was remarkable from the get-go. By the time he was 12, folks understood that he was a very unique person. He raised penetrating questions and spoke with a wisdom that far exceeded his age. Perhaps you have some children like that here. In any case, by the time Jesus became a young adult, he had a reputation for being an exceptionally inspiring teacher and healer. He was also known by the company he kept, largely the marginalized and the oppressed. He didn't reject outcasts as our laws instructed folks to do. Instead, he was kind and generous. And we women, Jesus treated us like equals, which was unheard of back then. He believed we were all equally holy, precious, and worthy of dignity, kind of like what you all do here at QUF. With time, we came to understand Jesus as a prophet sent to us by God to change the world. So several of us became his apostles and disciples so that we could help him, and in so doing, help ourselves. One of the most important and powerful teachings that he shared with us, it was about the state of spiritual connection. He called it the kingdom of God. And he told us that it exists inside us and between us at all times. And as his followers, it was our job to bring it to light. Because if enough of us did that, we could create a world so compassionate and so just, it would be like heaven on earth. That sounded very appealing to us, because back then we were living under the stern rule of the Roman Empire, and life was hard for us. Unfortunately, the authorities didn't like Jesus, his teachings, or any of us, his followers. This was because Jesus threatened their tight grip on wealth and power, and they weren't going to settle for that. So as Jesus got more and more popular, they decided that they had to put an end to him and his radical messages about love, justice, and compassion. This explains why they ended up killing Jesus, and in such a horrible way. Crucifixion was usually reserved for petty criminals who had no money or social power, but they chose to kill him this way because they wanted to strip him of his dignity and prestige. And back then, people in power killed a lot of really good people. So many, in fact, that we had special names for them. We called them martyrs and saints. And we believed that when these special people died, their spirits all went to a paradise that was not far from the land of the living. And we also believed that they could come back and visit us. Not like ghosts, nothing scary, more like friends. It was in a nice and comforting way. And that was our experience with Jesus. Some of us saw him after he died. There he was, walking alongside us, right before our eyes, like he used to do. It was both wonderful and confusing to see him like that after he had died. In the end, though, we realized that our sighting of him was a gift that doesn't happen very often, and it comforted us to know that Jesus' spirit still lived on. And this, in turn, gave us the courage to keep sharing his teachings, even though it angered the authorities. And look what's happened in the 2,000 years since then. Jesus' teachings have spread farther and wider than we ever expected. So here I am in the United States in the year 2019, and people are still talking about Jesus and helping bring his vision to light. Between you and me, I want you to know that I think that the real miracle of Easter is not that Jesus visited us after he died. The real miracle is that all those powerful and well-armed Romans couldn't stop what Jesus started. But for those of you who are still confused by Easter's focus on the resurrection story, let me tell you something. I'm a wise old woman now, and I've learned a thing or two over all these years. Namely, whenever anyone we really love dies, that person does indeed visit us in our dreams, in our memories, and once in a while, just maybe, has something more. But it's something I've come to believe in. People we love never truly die. And that's how it was for all of us who loved and followed Jesus. He continued to live on in our hearts, in our memories, in our attempts to follow his example. He also continues to live on in the stories shared about him, like the one I'm telling you about today. That said, I want to acknowledge that some people have twisted Jesus' teachings over time, using them as an excuse to hate, hurt, or exclude people. Don't be fooled by them. There's nothing else I want to do is to leave you with some core messages that were central to Jesus' whole ministry. Jesus told us to love and take care of one another, to bless even our enemies, and to withhold judgment of others until we've examined our own lives. So please, don't concern yourself with those who misrepresent Jesus. Instead, honor Jesus by carrying on with your own efforts to make heaven on earth. So keep on sharing what you have with those less fortunate. Keep visiting folks when they're sick, dying, lonely, or dispirited. Keep that shelter going. And please continue standing up for the rights of the oppressed. Doing so is good for you, for the world, and it helps keep the spirit of Jesus alive. I hope this place will continue nurturing brave, kind, and compassionate people, people who will hold the hands of others through life's joys and sorrows, people who will walk with you in certain times and uncertain times, in living and in dying. In fact, Kate asked one more thing of me before I go. She asked me to tell you, to remind you, that if you are in need of such a person, we have care team members who are present today to accompany you on your life's journey. If there are any care team members present, will you please stand? And if you've ever brought people meals or given them rides, don't sit down yet, will you please stand? Anybody give a meal, a ride? These are your ambassadors of love and compassion. They're the ones devoted to helping others. And if I do say so myself, Jesus would be so happy to witness your ministry. Thank you, care team members. And with that, I've been told it's time to transition to a flower communion, a little different than what I first discussed. And so before we actually start the ceremony, I'd like to ask Carrie to come forth, and she's going to lead us in saying the precise words of Reverend Chapek, who was the very first person to create the flower communion.
You will find the words in your order of service, and please join me. Infinite Spirit of Life, we ask thy blessing on these, thy messengers of fellowship and love. May they remind us, amid diversities of knowledge and of gifts, to be one in desire and affection and devotion to thy holy will. May they also remind us of the value of comradeship, of doing and sharing alike. May we cherish friendship as one of thy most precious gifts. May we not let awareness of another's talents discourage us or sully our relationship, but may we realize that whatever we can do, great or small, the efforts of all of us are needed to do thy work in this world. Amen.